Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Dolphins have been very clear they want to pay Tua Tagovailoa. The question is, what is fair market value? And that's a moving bar, because a couple of weeks ago, it would have been easy to argue that, hey, we don't know that he's worth the money that the Bengals are paying Joe Burrow, which is $55 million a year on average. But then Trevor Lawrence comes along and he gets $55 million a year on average. And so when that happens, the market shifts. And so the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa are now left to figure out what is the proper value for a quarterback of his abilities.
Adam Schefter from the final week of June on what's going on with Tua and his contract right now. Morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off. 803-0550 is the phone number. 19 days from Bills training camp at St. John Fisher. And development camp is over for the Sabres, so hockey, we're in vacation mode. Unless the Sabres decide to do something. I did see the video that Channel 2 put out of a fan at development camp screaming, "Make a trade, Kevin," at Kevin Adams. So the fans are definitely wanting to feel. Definitely wanting something. I got some thoughts on the Sabres to get to in a little bit. And we'll have Paul coming up in about 20 minutes here on WGR. On Tua, though, for a moment. He is the thing I am most interested in league-wide. Between now and camp especially, but even the preseason, start of the season, camp, though. Like, my number one camp storyline in the league is Tua is still unsigned. And could it get ugly? Where I stand on Tua is where I've always really stood on Tua. I've tried to never really waver from this. I just don't think he has the arm talent to be a successful or championship-winning quarterback in the NFL. I just don't think he has it. He doesn't have the athleticism to do it. He doesn't have the size to do it. He's very accurate. And he's very good at decision-making. But you can't throw the ball far. You can't throw the ball. You can't zip it to the sidelines. You know, you can't scramble away from pressure. So I've got it's amazing to me, actually. Like, I don't know how we got here. It's amazing to me he got picked fifth overall. And I'll say it, I got sucked in on that. Like, I definitely, when Tua came into the league, is not where I am on him now. I once wrote a story on our website. Let me find what the exact headline was. In probably 2019, is that when he was drafted? Yeah. Here it is. I wrote on our website, WGR550.com, May 19th, 2020. So during the COVID shutdown. Tua Tagovailoa, this is before he had played a snap. Tua Tagovailoa is the Bills' biggest threat in the AFC East. I once stood there on that spot. Because when he was coming out of Alabama, it was, oh, this guy is, I don't know if he was at prodigy level, but he had won the national championship with that epic clutch throw at the end. And that was a downfield pass. And at Alabama, it looked like he had everything. It looked like he had the talent. It looked like he had the athleticism. It looked like he had enough arm strength. He wasn't like big cannon Allen arm, but it didn't look like he couldn't throw the ball deep or fast. And I do really wonder, not even really, like I think it's almost indisputable at this point, that major reconstructive hip surgery that he had to have before entering the NFL. He got injured and ended his college career, that hip surgery, and he then entered the NFL right after it. It's one of two things, or it's both. His hip really took on some damage, or we were just thinking he was really athletic because he was playing in college. And in college, you're going to look more athletic than you are in the NFL because in the NFL, the athletes are better. So maybe a combination of the two. Either way, we're at a point now where he is the most Aaron Rodgers, never mind. I almost called him the most accomplished quarterback outside of Allen. He's not. Rodgers is. But Tua, you know, you could say he's still their, I guess you could still say he's their biggest threat. You know, I guess how wrong was I also? I mean, I was very wrong on why they would be the biggest threat. But hasn't he kind of been their biggest threat for at least 2 years here? He has been. But that hip injury, he just doesn't have the zip. I think more and more you're seeing breakdowns of the Miami offense, which is, I know he's the quarterback of it. I'm super impressed by the Miami offense. But in part, one of the reasons I'm so impressed by it is I feel like they overcome their limitations at quarterback a lot. And more I do see breakdowns that is kind of how it is. That Mike McDaniel has to limit himself to certain route concepts, to certain areas of the field, because his quarterback can't make all the throws. He also has to limit himself to certain areas of the field and route concepts because the ball's got to come out fast. McDaniel, I saw this from, I think it was Steven Ruiz that had this, that when you look at the Dolphins' offense, there are certain things that, like, the Niners can do. The Niners are often compared to Miami, stylistically. McDaniel came from Shanahan and the Niners, right? So there are a lot of similarities. Pre-snap motion is something that is very similar between the two. But one thing that I saw that is very different between those two offenses is the volume of late developing plays that the Niners can execute. The Niners can say, hey, we're going to run this route with Ayuk, but because he's kind of got to go left and then run back to the right on a deep post, for instance, just something that takes a little bit longer to develop. The Niners can say, okay, well, we're gonna hold up. We've got Trent Williams at left tackle. You know, we've got a quarterback that's, you know, been pretty sturdy through a couple of years. And we're not afraid to get hit. But we've got a really good offensive line. We've got a quarterback that could stand back there. And Purdy's also proven himself a little capable to extend plays if he needs to. So the Niners can say, all right, this play might take an extra second and a half, 2 seconds. But we can afford that. We can pull that off. Whereas McDaniel, because of Tua's injury history, and because they basically play afraid of him getting hit, all of those late developing plays, you just have to tear the page right out of the playbook. Just, you can't afford to do it. You can't afford for him to stand back there. One, your line's not as good as like the Niners for comparison, and two, your quarterback is maybe as much as anybody in the league one hit away from going down because he's light and he's been banged up for years. That hip that I mentioned at Alabama, he's had wrist injuries, he's had broken thumbs, he's had, of course, all the concussions that he's had. Like, you just can't afford to have him be touched. So his limitation as a passer, as with arm strength, his limitation as a runner, his limitation where you can't afford for him to get hit, the fact that McDaniel is able to build an elite offense around all of that is actually incredible. To me, it is, at least. Not everything's working against him. I do understand that. He's got two of the best. He's probably got the best receiver combo in football. So he's got that going for him. He's got Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. He's not bereft of help to build a good offense in Miami. But it's still kind of incredible that all of those things are just kind of off the table, and they still have this offense that is very, very, very good. How much, though, of that success is Tua? Just, I don't think he's a bad quarterback, but I just think he's so severely limited, and he really caps your team. You know, like that Chief playoff game last year, man, did he look bad. And I'm sure I said this the day after. Might be a forgotten play. It almost definitely is a forgotten play. I think they might have been down 9 at the time, which is another reason why it would be forgotten. But I think, I'll look up the specifics, but I'm pretty sure it was a 9-point game in the final minutes of that Chief-Dolphins playoff game that was on Peacock. That was like 0 degrees, maybe even under 0. And Tua had a 4th and long. Game's almost over. Season is about to end. You're down 2 scores, but you've got the ball, and there's a couple of minutes left. And Tua, on like a 4th and 10 or more, dumps the ball off, checks it down underneath. Guy gets tackled 10 yards away from the sticks. Game over. Season over. Here comes Mahomes to kneel the football. And if I'm a coach, if I'm a team, I think I watch that play and I don't think this is an overreaction. In that moment, I would think you are never throwing a pass for me again. Say, Josh Allen, you know, would never, ever do that. Season ends if, and again, your odds of winning are still like 2-3%. I'm understanding that you probably weren't going to win the game anyway. But you've got the ball, and if the play goes incomplete, season's officially over. You give up? Or do you chuck the ball deep? Take a jump ball. Do anything. Anything other than what he did.
If you look at the play-by-play of the last 4 plays of that game.
Yeah.
The Dolphins get the ball on their own 43 with a minute 08 left. A pass completed short,
minute
quote 08. Unquote.
Was it a 9-point game?
It was 26-7 at this point.
26 to... Oh, okay, so it's a 19-point game? I guess that makes it even...
Yeah.
All right, but go ahead.
So he passes it to Achane for an 11-yard gain. Cool,
okay.
He got the first down. 43 seconds left. Pass incomplete, short. The next play, 39 seconds left. Pass complete, short, but River Craycraft extends it to 14 yards. You're now on Kansas City's 32 with 17 seconds left, and you throw a 3-yard pass to a tight end.
Okay.
Like, again, you're down 19 with 17 seconds left, but still.
I wonder if it's the previous drive then.
It might be. It definitely is.
I don't remember it being like that late in the game. I thought I remember there being a few minutes left.
I'm looking at it right now. If you look at the drive beforehand.
Yeah.
The last 3 passes before, well, I guess the last 4 passes, but the 3 passes before the final one were all short, considered short passes, and the last one's probably a deep bomb for Tyreek Hill that was incomplete.
Okay. Yeah, here, I'm gonna pull it up real quick. Here it is. I think this is the play. No, I guess not. I guess I don't know what play I'm thinking of. I know there's a play, though, that comes to mind for this. Here, this might be it. Yeah, here, I got it. Okay. 6:27 remaining. It's 26-7, so it's a 19-point game. So, okay, three-score game. Maybe I shouldn't pick on them too much for this, but whatever. You got 6.5 minutes left, and it's a playoff game, and you're in Kansas City, and, like, come on, man. Like, let's go. Let's go. Let's go make history. Let's take a swing here, right? 4th and 16 was the play at the Kansas City 31, and Tua dumped it off to Cedric Wilson, who got 9 yards and came up 7 yards short. That was the play I'm thinking of. Okay, he was down 19, not 9, but still, six and a half minutes left. It's 4th and 16. You just dump it off? Like, I'd rather go to the sideline, get my big coat on.
Mind you, the play before that was a negative 6 yard play.
Yeah.
And a pass to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. So, anyways, like the point here, I don't even need this for the point. I want to include it because I can't imagine believing in a quarterback that's willing to make that pass, even if the game's already over. Seemingly over. You can't. What a joke. Josh Dobbs did that a couple years ago, and I remember saying the same thing about him. He, like, playoff game berth on the line, Tennessee, dumped it off on 4th down, and nowhere near the sticks. Was it Trent Edwards that ran out of bounds on a 4th down? Was it Bledsoe? What Bills quarterback did that back in the day, too, during the drought? Just, that is one of the most, for me personally, when you give up in any situation like that, I don't care what the score is. You give up when it's 4th down and you're going to the sidelines if you don't get it, or your season's over if you don't get it. Come on, man. You got to make an effort. One of the most offensive things a quarterback can do is that for me. And again, I don't even need that. Tua is limited. And McDaniel, to me, is a genius. I think he's one of the great young play callers in football. I don't even think it's debatable. He is in that conversation. How do you pay Tua if you're Miami? I'm rooting for them too. I think it would be so dumb if they decide to give him $55 million. That's the Goff contract. The Jared Goff contract is $55 million. Here's why I think that's going to get ugly. And while we're going to be at St. John Fisher, and we're going to be hyper-focusing on Keon Coleman and the Bills receivers, and, you know, we'll have an interesting training camp here, but it's not going to be divisive. It's not going to be, you know, the most polarizing thing you've ever seen. Like, it'll be an interesting, curiosity-filled training camp for the Bills. Miami, I wonder if it's ugly. I wonder if it gets ugly. Tua doesn't strike me as the type of person to want to make it ugly, but he's made some comments recently that make me think he could do it, that he might be open to that. Here's his side of it. And this is where I really think the two sides could, you know, kind of start going at it. Tua, Miami should, again, on Miami, they should not want to pay him. They should know that he's limited. McDaniel should know that he's limited, and they should not want to give him the $55 million a year contract. And it kind of seems like they know that. But then go to Tua's side of things. This is where I think it could get ugly. Tua has been, I think fairly, but whatever, it's still true. Tua's been one of the most heavily criticized quarterbacks in football. For really his entire career in Miami, he has been one of the most highly criticized quarterbacks in the league. And he is someone that says that he doesn't listen to the noise, but then he will specifically reference the noise, things that people are saying. So I kind of think he does listen to it, or he does hear it, because he has referenced things that people have said about him. Specific things. So I think he hears it. And what has he heard from his head coach and his organization for the last 2 years? Ever since they tried to replace him. They tried to replace him. The owner tried to replace him. Stephen Ross wanted to replace him. Desperate to win. He's in his 80s. He's been the owner for a little over a decade, and he's never won anything. And he's in his 80s, and he's desperate to win. I got to win now. Come on. while I'm still breathing, let's win this thing. And he hasn't. So you can see why he was acting desperate going and getting, trying to get Tom Brady. They got fined a first-round pick because they Stephen Ross met with Brady on a boat. Tried to replace Tua with Brady. After Tua's first year, he tried to do that. Then he tries to replace him with Deshaun Watson. Flew to Houston to convince Watson before a trade deadline to settle his sexual misconduct lawsuits so that they could trade for him. That was the second time they tried to replace Tua. And that's not even counting all the times in his rookie year where they put Ryan Fitzpatrick in instead of him. That might have been more coaching. But whatever. For 2 years, Miami looked like they didn't believe in him. And for 4 years, the world has told Tua, we don't believe in you. In comes Mike McDaniel. And for 2 years, the messaging from McDaniel, from Chris Greer, from the Dolphins, more so than his first 2 years, was, hey man, we believe in you. You're the guy. You are one of the best quarterbacks. You're talented. You have got what it takes. And you're our quarterback. That's been the messaging from the Dolphins to Tua for 2 years. And if you're Tua, you probably believe them. Right? They've done everything for you. They brought you Tyreek Hill. They designed an offense specifically for you, where it's built around quick passing game, you not taking hits, and certain passing concepts that work better for you than others. If you're ever going deep, it's deep middle. You know, it's these quick crossers, guys running wide open. Everything we've built for you. Well, now it's time to really show him what you think of him. If you're Tua, now it's time for you to really show me what you think. What do you really think of me, Miami? What does my own team really truly think of me? And if they are in those meetings refusing to give him the money that Jared Goff got in Detroit, that Trevor Lawrence got in Jacksonville, who, if I'm Tua, I'm thinking, you're not willing to give me what those guys got? Those guys are not, that's not Mahomes over there getting that. That's not Josh Allen getting $55 million. It's Jared Goff, and it's Trevor Lawrence. Goff's accomplished more. Goff's been to a Super Bowl. Goff just made the NFC Championship game. He's won playoff games. Lawrence, though, is like, what has that guy done that I haven't done? I led the league in passing. What is he? He's been kind of a disappointment. I led the league in passing. You told me the one thing I needed to prove, the one thing everyone said I needed to prove was I could stay healthy for a full season, and I just played 17 games. Led the league in passing, played a full season, didn't get injured while the rest of the league was getting injured at quarterback. If I'm Tua, I'm sitting in that meeting right now with Miami as they don't want to pay me Trevor Lawrence money. And I'm saying to them,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You don't believe in me. You really don't believe in me, huh? All along. You don't. You just wanted, you for 2 years, you on a rookie contract, you're good with me, but you don't actually believe in me. That would be my attitude if I'm Tua right now. And he kind of talks like that might be in there, that might be what's going on a little bit. Maybe they sign, you know, the way this goes, this is the maybe the curse of me this week. I talked about the Sabres getting Tarasenko on Wednesday, and then an hour later, he signed with another team. I just went through 25 minutes talking about Tua and his whole contract dispute and how I think it could get ugly, and he might sign in 10 minutes. Maybe I jinxed it. But the way I see the whole thing going right now, his career, how it's gone, how Miami's treated him to this point, the coach's role in all of this, his limitations, the guys that have been paid, if you put it all together, if you put that whole puzzle together, I think what it might look like is the ugliest contract dispute that we'll have in the league. The only thing that is holding me back from wanting to go all in with, oh man, it's going to be bad, it's going to be contentious, is Tua's character. He's not someone where you might just predict he's going to... He's a quiet guy. You know, he's a quiet guy. He got mad when people found out he got married. He got married and it got reported on and he was like upset about it. Like he has a very private life. Not on social media, you know, never gets into it with teammates, never says anything bad in the media. Like he's the type of person where it doesn't feel like he would make it ugly, but I think all the reasons are there for him to do it. 803-0550 is the phone number. Paul Hamilton when we come back. Development camp wrapping up yesterday with the 3-on-3 tournament. We'll check in on Konstantelis, how he did. Sounds like the reviews were pretty good, but we'll get Paul on that. And whether there's anything left to do, what's still out there for the Sabres to get accomplished. That's when we come back. Paul Hamilton, and then we'll have Nick Mendola coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get some U.S. soccer rants and takes coming up in about an hour. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to... Are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Changing gears, getting some hockey in. Paul Hamilton now on the Wester Hotline, fresh off of development camp. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Are you a big fireworks guy, Paul?
I don't mind them. I did not go to see any yesterday, but in past years I walk down and usually watch them, but I just...
Yeah.
Didn't wasn't with me to do it last night, so I didn't do it.
Fourth of July, is that a big happenings for you? Not really?
No, not really. I mean, if there's something to do, I might go do it. And here in Lancaster, they on the 3rd, they have a bunch of stuff going on down in the village, and then they have the fireworks display on the 4th. So sometimes I go down and do that stuff, but I was a little busier than I normally am on a 4th of July this time, so I took a pass this year.
I was going to say, you might not mind too much then, as much as others, that that they scheduled a development camp practice, or tournament, I should say, for the 4th of July, but it looked like turnout was maybe pretty good, and maybe that was because they made it early enough so that people could get there.
Yeah, no, it was very good. I mean, they had a very good turnout for it, and a lot of people came and were excited to see it. They were loud, and of course, a lot of kids come too, which is fun.
Yeah.
So it was good.
So the tournament yesterday, 3-on-3 tournament, the team Perot, team Martin, team Robert. I read your story about this. I saw some of the highlights on Twitter. Constantinos Kynas, does he steal the show? Would you put it that way? Would you just say he was the best player? How would you put his performance into perspective?
Yeah, he was the best player all week and showed why he is number one pick. He was head and shoulders above everybody, going up against guys pretty much his own age or maybe within a year or two of him. So really was head and shoulders above everybody there. And scored some nice goals, set up some nice goals, was always around the puck. You know, I don't want to call him a puck hawk, I think would be more of a good statement. And, it was just like every time you looked, he was around the puck or had the puck or, you know, did something with it. And, if he can do that against men, you know, I think you'll see him with the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, but it's different when you're going up against 18, 19-year-olds and then when you're going up against 28 and 29-year-olds. But, it was a very, very good first impression by him.
So you kind of mentioned, like, some of the things that makes him, you know, the player he is. Combining that with what we saw for the draft profile, there was a lot about his two-way game, Paul, and his competitiveness and whatnot. I feel like I didn't hear as much about in his draft profile about the speed and the skill, but there was no one else that was saying like he doesn't have that. It just maybe was he's got these other mature elements that, you know, some of the other prospects didn't have.
Yeah, poise, maturity. That's exactly it. And, you know, the shootout goal that he scored was just, gorgeous. I mean, he just went in and put a move on that would take your breath
away. The
goalie
was in the corner almost at the end of that.
Yeah, and he's standing there with the puck with the whole net to shoot at and put it in. So that was a highlight of the day right there, and scored a couple of nice goals and set up a couple of nice goals too. Steven Sardarian scored four goals, and a lot of them were compliments of Hellenius.
How stunning would it be? Like, what level of stunning would it be if he pulled off a Benson? If he was as a mid first round pick, wowed them enough in training camp preseason? Would you say it's impossible? Would you just say it's very unlikely? Like, how would you put that possibility that he gets his nine games, or would it even be that because he's a European player?
Yeah, I wouldn't be stunned just because Adams talked about that when they drafted him, that he is a very mature player since for the last 2 years he's been playing in a men's league and doing very well. I mean, he doesn't get pushed around or anything like that, and he talked about how he's a little bit ahead of his time, so to speak, and said they want to get him to North America as soon as possible. So that, you know, it sounds like they're going to try to sign him right away and get him here. And he looks like a lot of 18-year-olds. I'm not a real fan of getting him straight to the AHL. Sometimes they can't handle that. Everything I saw this week, I think, you know, this kid would be able to handle that. And who knows? You know, he could come to training camp and pull a Benson and get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Benson just got the opportunity because Savoy didn't. Savoy got hurt. He was supposed to get that opportunity. He was the one that was supposed to play on that wing.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, you know, with Thompson. He got hurt, so Benson got the opportunity and then took advantage of it. Had Savoy not gotten hurt, I don't think Benson would have made the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have gotten the opportunity to make that team. And So, you know, it's going to be all about opportunity and, you know, what he does in training camp and how well he plays, whether, you know, he winds up, first of all, signed here and in Rochester or Buffalo.
So that being said, again, they haven't signed him yet. That would make it different, right? Because last year, because of juniors, Benson had, remember, the 9-game, and we were wondering about that really up until the end. Like, will they keep him? Versus if Helena signs in Rochester, I mean, he could be someone that they call up even middle of the season if there's injuries or something, and he's performing.
Yeah, he's, and that's why he can go to Rochester and Benson couldn't.
Right.
And Savoy couldn't because of junior, you know, junior hockey where Helenas wouldn't have to worry about that kind of stuff. So the rules are different for him than they would have been for Savoy, who had to go back to junior, or had Benson not made the team.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, was there anybody else that stood out to you throughout development camp over the couple of days?
Yeah, Sardarian was really good. I thought he had a couple of breakaways, and he didn't miss. And I think he had 4 goals in the 3 games. So he's somebody to open my eyes a little bit. He doesn't have a team to play on right now. I chatted with him, something I'll put together for our website probably next week. And, you know, he played the last two years at New Hampshire. A Russian player playing college hockey, you don't see that every day. And then he tried to transfer to Northern Michigan, and the coaches left. So he decommitted, and now he's looking for a team. He said he hopes to have a team within the next week or two. Mm-hmm. And that performance that he had there in the 3-on-3 did not hurt him. Another kid who was just drafted, Brody Ziemer. What a shot this kid has!
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was impressed with him all through camp with the show that he put on. They put the nets at the both blue lines, and then they had like a 3-on-3 in the neutral zone, very tight quarters. In one shift, he had 4 goals. I mean, he ripped one from the side. It wasn't even in his off wing. He put it under the crossbar. Had a couple of great moves to score some goals. This is a kid. He was the captain at the U.S. team and in the USHL, and you know, really showed what type of goal scorer he can be. So that was a guy that was extremely impressive, I think, all through camp, and a guy who you know, impressed during the 3-on-3. Didn't see or didn't notice him too much during camp. Was Medima? I hope I'm saying his name right there. The fourth round pick from 2023, he had scored 3 or 4 goals in the tournament too for Team Robert. And getting back to Ziemer too, he's going to the University of Minnesota, and he's thinking maybe be there about 3 years, but he'd like to chat with Ryan Johnson, you know, who went for 4 years at Minnesota, and what his experience was and why he stayed for 4 years. So it's something that he's hoping, you know, he's going to get an opportunity to do. Now, Ziemer's not going to be in training camp because the college season will have already, you know, they're already in school by then. So, but, you know, I'm sure he can get a phone number and chat with him, but that's something he would like to do before, you know, getting to school and start picking that up.
Paul, we're kind of at the end of free agency. I mean, there are not many names left. There are some, but, you know, the list is pretty picked through. Are you thinking any of these, like, would it surprise you a lot if any of these veteran, older players, like, I know Van Riemsdyk is out there and, you know, Suter, but that's defense, Tyler Johnson's of the world. If the Sabres made any signing like that, now would it be surprising to you? Do you think if any move comes, like it's trade, and that's probably it in the next couple of months?
I mean, you're faster than Van Riemsdyk, so I mean, there'd be no point in that. So yeah, if there's any moves left, it's going to be through trade or a minor free agency signing, but not what we're thinking. Somebody you're going to plug into your top six or anything like that.
All right. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Thank you, Paul. If this is going to be kind of the slow part of the hockey calendar, but we'll definitely check in along the way.
Yeah, mid-September until mid-September challenge gets going.
Well, that by the way, right, you mentioned mid-September. What kind of roster usually does that get? The college guys are usually gone by then, right?
Yeah, you won't see any of the college guys in that. So okay. You'll see junior players, players from the Sabres that could wind up in Rochester. You know, Kulik, I think, is still eligible for that, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
They do have some. I mean, they you do age out of that eventually, but I don't think Kulik would have at 20.
All right. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Thanks, Paul. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Development camp, if you want to get Paul's recap on how good Hellenius looked, at WGR550.com. You can find his article right there on the main page. And the goal that he scored, as he mentioned, he had the goalie in the corner, basically, with the move he pulled off there. 803-0550 is the phone number. We spent some time talking about Allen and his running, and also like where he is all-time already for that. Dual-threat quarterbacks, like he's already one of the best all-time, I think. A lot of pushback on Twitter for putting him, though, above the likes of a Michael Vick or a Steve Young already. Elway, I mean, Elway and Young have won Super Bowls, so, you know, in any conversation where you're talking about football all time, rings are going to come up. Time out here. When we get rolling here into the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have Nick Mendola on. I got some soccer rants ready to go, and I'll try to have Nick talk me down or fire them back up. We'll see. Stay tuned. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR. Joe DiBiase. It's Jeremy and Joe. I got one more quick hockey thought before we get to the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get some more football and football in along the way. We just talked development camp, a little offseason with Paul, and you know, we mentioned how free agencies kind of pick through. James Van Riemsdyk, no thank you. Mike Hoffman, just there are not many good ideas left for what the Sabres need. Trade is more likely, and I have found my favorite trade for them that I also can see happening. And it's not for a top six forward. I still think third line center is a necessary move here at some point. And I'm just going to connect a couple of dots here real quick. I've got multiple reports from last season that said Philadelphia was interested in Peyton Krebs. Or they liked him, they were sniffing around him, whatever the terminology was. But a couple different times, there were connections between Krebs and the Flyers. The Flyers, I'm looking through Frank Saravelli, the Daily Faceoff. I'm looking through his trade bait board. Off-season trade bait board. Who's number 11 on that trade bait board? Flyer center Morgan Frost, who is a player like I know, but I don't know him so well that I, like, off the top of my head, like, oh, great, like, perfect for the Sabres. But as I start digging a little bit, Morgan Frost, what Saravelli writes is one reason he might be available is he really got into it with John Tortorella last year. He got healthy scratched for a chunk of the season, whatever it was. Tortorella, him, didn't see eye to eye. He finished the year, though, with 33 points in his final 48 games. This is a center. 33 points in his final 48 games. 41 points on the season total after a 46-point season the year before that. So I'm looking, I'm like, okay, those are far better point totals than Krebs has put up. He's a center. He's 25 years old. He's got 1 year left at $2.4 million. So there's still some team control there. He might be available. Then I look, I go to his Evolving Hockey page. Evolving Hockey, you know, some of the advanced stats. And I pull up his player card, and he is an 83rd percentile defensive center. 83rd percentile. His defensive numbers, the goals above replacement stuff, some of those advanced numbers for defense, looked really good. So I don't know firsthand that he's actually that good defensively. The numbers for their site, though, say he is. So I've got a guy that's putting up better points than Krebs. I've got a guy that's good defensively, by the numbers at least. He's better in faceoffs, 49.5%. The Sabres don't really have a faceoff specialist. He's not like the best in the league, but he's better than Krebs is. And I got Philly, who might not want him anymore, or might not like him, and they do like Krebs. Doesn't that just kind of all fit? He's your third-line center upgrade. I mean, you would almost certainly have to give up something, a pick or a prospect with Krebs, I'm sure, to get him. But that's a nice, tasty idea to me. That is a third line center upgrade that checks almost all the boxes. Just an idea. Philly with Danny Briere. We'll see if they want to make a trade at some point this offseason. 803-0550 is the phone number. Allen and running. Do we expect that that's going to be, he's going to be running as much as ever this year? Because I kind of do. We'll get into that a little bit more. Nick Mendola coming up at 8:15. And then we'll talk some fantasy. Bills and fantasy coming up at 9:30 with Kevin Payne. All ahead here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Or a minor free agency signing, but not what we're thinking, somebody you're going to plug into your top six or anything like that.
All right. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Thank you, Paul. I'm thinking this is going to be kind of the slow part of the hockey calendar, but we'll definitely check in along the way.
Yeah, mid-September until mid-September challenge gets going.
Well, that by the way, right, you mentioned mid-September. What kind of roster usually does that get? The college guys are usually gone by then, right?
Yeah, you won't see any of the college guys in that. So okay. You'll see junior players, players from the Sabres that could wind up in Rochester. You know, Kulik, I think, is still eligible for that, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
They do have some. I mean, they you do age out of that eventually, but I don't think Kulik would have at 20.
All right. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Thanks, Paul. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Development camp. If you want to get Paul's recap on how good Hellenius looked at WGR550.com, you can find his article right there on the main page. And the goal that he scored, as he mentioned, he had the goalie in the corner, basically, with the move he pulled off there. 803-0550 is the phone number. We spent some time talking about Allen and his running, and also like where he is all-time already for that. Dual-threat quarterbacks, like he's already one of the best all-time, I think. A lot of pushback on Twitter for putting him, though, above the likes of a Michael Vick or a Steve Young already. Elway, I mean, Elway and Young have won Super Bowls, so, you know, in any conversation where you're talking about football all time, rings are going to come up. Timeout here. When we get rolling here into the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have Nick Mendola on. I got some soccer rants ready to go, and I'll try to have Nick talk me down or fire them back up. We'll see. Stay tuned. It's Jeremy and Joe. This is WGR. Joe DiBiase. It's Jeremy and Joe. I got one more quick hockey thought before we get to the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get some more football and football in along the way. We just talked development camp, a little offseason with Paul, and you know, we mentioned how free agencies kind of pick through. James Van Riemsdyk, no thank you. Mike Hoffman, just there are not many good ideas left for what the Sabres need. Trade is more likely, and I have found my favorite trade for them that I also can see happening, and it's not for a top six forward. I still think third line center is a necessary move here at some point. And I'm just going to connect a couple of dots here real quick. I've got multiple reports from last season that said Philadelphia was interested in Peyton Krebs. Or they liked him, they were sniffing around him, whatever the terminology was. But a couple different times, there were connections between Krebs and the Flyers. The Flyers, I'm looking through Frank Saravelli, the Daily Faceoff. I'm looking through his trade bait board. Off-season trade bait board. Who's number 11 on that trade bait board? Flyer center Morgan Frost, who is a player like I know, but I don't know him so well that I, like, off the top of my head, like, oh, great, like, perfect for the Sabres. But as I start digging a little bit, Morgan Frost, what Saravelli writes is one reason he might be available is he really got into it with John Tortorella last year. He got healthy scratched for a chunk of the season, whatever it was. Tortorella, him, didn't see eye to eye. He finished the year, though, with 33 points in his final 48 games. This is a center. 33 points in his final 48 games. 41 points on the season total after a 46-point season the year before that. So I'm looking, I'm like, okay, those are far better point totals than Krebs has put up. He's a center. He's 25 years old. He's got 1 year left at $2.4 million. So there's still some team control there. He might be available. Then I look, I go to his Evolving Hockey page. Evolving Hockey, you know, some of the advanced stats. And I pull up his player card, and he is an 83rd percentile defensive center. 83rd percentile. His defensive numbers, the goals above replacement stuff, some of those advanced numbers for defense, looked really good. So I don't know firsthand that he's actually that good defensively. The numbers for their site, though, say he is. So I've got a guy that's putting up better points than Krebs. I've got a guy that's good defensively, by the numbers at least. He's better in faceoffs, 49.5%. The Sabres don't really have a faceoff specialist. He's not like the best in the league, but he's better than Krebs is. And I got Philly, who might not want him anymore, or might not like him, and they do like Krebs. Doesn't that just kind of all fit? He's your third line center upgrade. I mean, you would almost certainly have to give up something, a pick or a prospect with Krebs, I'm sure, to get him. But that's a nice, tasty idea to me. That is a third-line center upgrade that checks almost all the boxes. Just an idea. Philly with Danny Briere. We'll see if they want to make a trade at some point this offseason. 803-0550 is the phone number. Allen and running. Do we expect that that's going to be, he's going to be running as much as ever this year? Because I kind of do. We'll get into that a little bit more. Nick Mendola coming up at 8:15. And then we'll talk some fantasy. Bills and fantasy coming up at 9:30 with Kevin Payne. All ahead here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.